His guidance and with His grace to deal with it. As that part of our self is being opened up by God, there are also obstacles to being open to God's love that we become aware of. For example, because we've had a bad father-child relationship, many people are unable to be open to God as Father. Until this is healed, their relationship to God as a loving person is blocked. But the good Lord, who knows this, is the first one to reach out to us with a love that is so sweet and consoling that this attitude in us is changed. So during our centering prayer, thoughts of the hurts between ourselves and our Father will surface. And as we let them pass in the loving presence of God our Father, we are led to ask forgiveness and to repent of our unforgiveness, because the love of God our Father has now softened our hearts and given us the light to see the truth. For example, as He has forgiven us countless times, so we too must be forgiving to others, and especially our loved ones. As we experience more of God's love in many ways, our interior peace grows, and with this comes a greater security in knowing that God truly loves us. Consequently, we are more willing to face the sinful and imperfect side of our personality and to accept ourselves as we are. We are prepared to face the fact that there are tendencies and drives within us that can destroy us. For example, our emotions, left uncontrolled, like anger, hatred, resentment, appetites for food, pleasure, sex, drink, and so on. These tendencies are well listed in the seven capital sins: pride, covetousness, lust, anger, gluttony, envy, sloth. Left unchecked, these tendencies can lead us into all kinds of crimes, disastrous consequences, like wars, terrorism, murder, burglary, violence to another person, disease, mental illness, suicide. It's all in the daily paper. And then, too, as we are faithful in centering, there will be more self-control. As the light of God exposes the evil side of our human nature, we are given the grace of self-control, control of our passions and emotions. We are healed of the wounds these emotions and appetites have left in us. Yes, people are healed of gluttony, drunkenness, drug addiction, habits of anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness. In the many hours spent in centering prayer, there will be a gentle and yet deep healing of psychic wounds without having to go through the traumatic hurts of the past. Some of these healings we may not even recognize when they happen, only that we are more peaceful in certain situations than we were before. At other times, we'll notice that we will have a surfacing of certain thoughts that are strongly charged with emotion, without reference to any particular event in our present life. They sometimes put us in depression for some hours or a few days. This is a maturing experience, which we may not recognize as such while it's happening, but we will see later on. Now, these are some of the things that occur in periodic purification, but there is a prolonged purification. No one knows how long it will be. At such times, it may last a year, may last longer. It depends on a number of things. When the good Lord finds a soul that perseveres in centering prayer, truly loves Him, trusts Him, He begins to purify it in earnest. This will last for some time, and no one can say how long it will last, because it depends on the kind of holiness to which God wants to bring that soul. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, how long do you think it took to purify her? Only she could tell you. But she's in her late 70s. And only in the last, 20 years has she begun this special ministry. It's a very crucifying, heroic ministry. Took years of preparation for that. She's no longer suffering for herself. She's suffering for humanity. She's another Christ. You might say redemptive, yes. Or a Teresa of Avila. When God wants a great saint, then He's going to dig deep. It's like these huge towers they're putting over in New York, like the Twin Towers. Sometimes they have to dig about half as deep as the tower sometimes. So similarly, when God wants to create an outstanding saint, then He digs deep, because He wants to gift them in such a way that all the world will be in amazement. And He doesn't want that person to be proud. So they will be humbled like never, never before, to realize that all the good is in them is not from them. They will be the first ones to say that. They will acknowledge that God is the one who deserves the glory. And then they will be a wonderful, magnificent, perfect human being. So it depends on the kind of holiness to which God wants to bring that soul. It'll also depend on the generosity of that soul in accepting all that God has prepared for it. Like the Lord may not tell you, but it's going to be a year now you're going to be in it. Now, if you are generous, from day to day, you'll be faithful to your prayer, and you'll say, Lord, I love You. I don't feel any love, but I love You and I believe You're there. It doesn't matter. I love You. That's what the Lord wants. But now, if instead they begin to hedge, after a while they'll say, it's the human side coming out. What did I do to deserve this? See, they're beginning to whine and complain. And if they continue that, the Lord hears that too. Oh, the Lord will say, well, my child, I thought you were stronger than that. I was going to give you meat and potatoes, but now I've got to get you back on pablum. So what happens? They're in and out of this purification because they are complaining. See? But if they are patient and faithful, then they'll go through it much more quickly. Instead of maybe 3 years now, where it would have taken 1 year. Because they're in it and they're not in it. Because they need periods of goodies. Consolations, we call them. See? Remember, God loves each one of us with an infinite tenderness and love, and cannot wait until we are emptied of all that blocks our union with Him, so that He can fill us with to our complete fullness with His love and His gifts. Some souls may give up early in their prayer life. Others will persevere for some time, and then they'll relax, while others will remain there no matter what happens. And this is what God wishes of all of us. Stay right in there. When a period of prolonged purification has begun, a person in that state will notice that they are in dryness, and they are bombarded by all kinds of distracting thoughts. But for these particular persons, these thoughts do not turn them away from that loving presence. So no matter how many thoughts may come, it doesn't change the goodness of their prayer, because they have learned to let all thoughts pass and to remain committed to the loving presence within them, no matter what their feelings. It is at this time that thoughts that are strongly charged with emotions surface. These are the times when the good Lord allows chunks of emotional garbage to rise up out of our unconscious memories. As we let them pass gently and quietly into the healing and loving presence of God, the hidden emotional hang-ups that were tied in with them are healed and removed from our conscious life. After some time, we'll notice that within ourselves, we sense a greater inner freedom, emotional peace, and well-being. While we endure the barrage of emotionally charged thoughts during centering prayer, we did not notice that we were being healed. Namely, our personality was being freed from the accumulated hurts buried in our nervous system throughout our whole life. So we see that all these thoughts, coming as they do at this time, have an important role to play, as also the peaceful silence when it is there. There will be alternating times of quiet and peace. It should be obvious to us that the first thing the Holy Spirit must do before he can fill us with God's love, graces, and gifts is to empty all the garbage that has accumulated within us during our lifetime. What the Spirit has in mind is to form us into a beautiful image of Jesus Christ, who said, "Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart." His plan is nothing short of a magnificent spiritual masterpiece, a true work of art that will glorify God now and for all eternity. The more empty we are from all that can block the work of the Holy Spirit, the more full we shall be of God's gifts and graces, the fullness of God to the fullness of our capacity. In centering prayer, we place ourselves before God like a canvas, before a master painter. First, the master removes all the dirt and debris that may have accumulated there. He takes a knife, scrapes the canvas. Then he runs a cleansing agent over the canvas to prepare it for the many paints that he will place there. The initial strokes are just background for the master strokes that are to come later. But during all this time, the canvas must be perfectly still so that the delicate master strokes will be done just right. This will all take time. So it's a matter of just enduring the whole process. In the case of the soul being purified, the soul is the canvas, and the Holy Spirit is the master artist. The more surrendered our soul is to the Holy Spirit, the better the work, and the sooner it will be done. What is required here is unlimited trust in the action of the Holy Spirit, and a loving surrender to what is happening, like accepting that there will be a constant stream of thoughts and feelings at times, and having the discipline to let them all pass before the healing presence within us. This is a time when the canvas is being cleansed prior to the real work of art that is going to take place. But even under cover of this purification, the work of making us holy is going on secretly, and the beauty of what God is doing is hidden from us. At that time, we are like a beautiful tapestry. Have you ever seen them? Cover a whole wall, and it's taken months and probably years. I saw them in Rome, in the Vatican Art Gallery. I saw them in the Valley of the Fallen, La Valle de los Caídos, in outside Madrid, magnificent. And it took many, many, many months of labor, intense labor, delicate work. All we see in the tapestry, if we look on the other side, are many knots and a jumble of colored threads which make no sense to us. All we see then, there seems to be no pattern of beauty there, just one big mess. But turn the tapestry over, you will see a magnificent piece of art done in beautiful colors. We must be careful not to project our feelings and thoughts about how long it will last into the days and months ahead. None of us know how long a particular period may last. But we should know that God tempers the purification to our strength and to the graces that He gives to assist us in this process. Take one day at a time and simply offer the good Lord our very weakness and inability to do anything, and remain peacefully in His loving and healing presence. Nothing will last forever in this life. And so these periods of purification have to come to an end. Yes, from time to time, we shall need reassurance from someone whom we trust that we are on the right road. And the good Lord sees to it that we meet such a person. After all, remember that the good Lord has gone to great lengths to bring us this far and is not about to desert us. Far from it. He is more concerned than ever about our holiness. Persons like that are like very special ones, the astronauts. They are the cream of all that is to be achieved in science and dynamics and flying, whatever. They are the best. And so they are treated like the best. So souls who are brought into this period of purification are going to be the best. You might say that the Lord has a heavy investment in us. And in the stock market of holiness, God's stocks are very sound and very profitable. Always dividends. During this time of prolonged purification, individuals may notice that they are smiling or are in pain, have strong feelings, or even an itch, and wonder where it comes from. They may want to trace it to some early event in their life. This will not help. When the unconscious erupts with the past painful events and experiences, it is more or less a jumble of things coming to the surface, nothing in particular, just a big heap of emotional rubbish. At such times, we should not focus on any one thing, but treat the whole mass like we would a pile of rubbish that we throw out in a big garbage bag. During our centering prayer time, we should follow the rule of letting everything that surfaces pass. Pass in the loving, healing presence of the Lord without trying to examine or evaluate it. When we feel especially restless, are in physical pain, or under emotional stress from fear, anxiety, anger, depression, and so on, due to the unconscious revealing its contents, one way suggested by the Abbot Keating, that's one of his books we have on the table there, Open Mind, Open Heart, is this. He says, we should rest in the painful feeling for a minute or two, and allow the pain itself to be our prayer word, like fear, anger, One of the best ways of letting go of an emotion is simply to feel it. Unquote. Other signs of the opening up of our unconscious content are a period of tears that we cannot explain, or an itch or a fit of laughter during our centering prayer. All this is an expression of some emotion we have suppressed, and now that there is more emotional freedom, these feelings suddenly come to the surface. Again, here's an example of the Holy Spirit removing the dirt from the canvas of our soul in preparation for the beautiful work of art that He will be doing in our soul. These emotional eruptions, no matter how intense, usually have no connection with our day-to-day experiences. Just enduring them, going through them with patience and acceptance, is the best thing we can do. Again, the Abbot Keating has a humorous way of putting it. He says, by allowing your attention to move gently toward the emotion, and by sinking into it, as though you were getting into a nice jacuzzi, you are embracing God in the feeling. Don't think. Just feel the emotion. Unquote. Keep in mind the purpose of centering prayer is not just to be praying, but to allow God to remove all the obstacles within us to a loving union with Him, and thus bring about a state, a permanent state, of loving awareness of God within us. This will be a new kind of awareness that will one day suddenly be there. We will not necessarily notice it during prayer time, but perhaps during some other activity during the day, like while you're driving the car, or during shopping, or house cleaning, or when you're taking a walk. And you'll say, why am I able to think of God so easily? And the Lord will say, surprise! You got it. All this will be the result of our faithful practice of centering prayer, allowing the good Lord who loves us beyond words to do the work of sanctifying us, making us holy, bringing us into a union of love that is nothing short of amazing, a thing of wonder. Evidence of this will be an evenness of our emotions, no big ups and downs in our emotional life, an abiding peace. This means that our awareness of the divine presence within us will dominate our former awareness based on our sense life and on the values of that false self. Dealing with the emotional upheavals that are part of the purification of our unconscious memories will call for great patience, perseverance in prayer, and the habitual practice of being able to let go of these feelings that surface. When the distressing feeling still remains there, then we need to accept it out of love for our dear Lord without analyzing it, but just remaining there, letting the Holy Spirit use it for His infinite and wise purposes to accomplish our holiness and union with God. Remember that the purpose of centering prayer and all contemplative prayer is to open our spirit fully to the loving, gentle, and yet powerful action of the Holy Spirit in us. At such times, it's not so much what we're doing that matters, but what the Holy Spirit is doing in a hidden but wonderful way. There will be alternating periods of peace, followed by periods of distressing emotions and thoughts. All this should be endured with loving confidence in God, who loves us so dearly, even with gratitude and peace. as to whether we should use our prayer word during these emotional storms rising from our unconscious memories, we should be careful not to act with too much violence, but rather repeat the word gently and not necessarily with rapid repetition. Remember, too, that you should accept the thought and feeling, not resist it, and yet do not hold on to it, but let it pass without letting it cause a reaction within you. At all times, hold on to that awareness of the Divine Presence within, and let everything pass before that loving, healing presence. With time, as the purification is allowed to accomplish its purpose, there will be a great depth to our union with God, and this will come to a greater trust in God and an ability to accept the faulty, imperfect side of our personality as it is revealed to us. All the while, there will be a growing depth to our humility as we see our helplessness in achieving holiness, and a deep conviction of Jesus' words, "Without me, you can do not a thing." Many do not realize the depth of the word "nothing" in these words of Jesus until they have been purified, have been allowed to see themselves as God sees us. With this will come a kind of abandonment to our loving Heavenly Father that has not been experienced before, a belief that all is in His hands, and it could never be better. Also at this time, there's an experience of interior freedom, because there has been much emotional healing, and with this has come an emotional balance, a maturity that prepares the soul to do what God wishes. And this is when the soul truly finds its true self, which is to be transformed into Christ. The healing effects of this purification will in time be evident. Emotional hurts that were causing psychosomatic illness like migraine headaches, back pains, kidney problems, heart conditions, even ulcers, when they are healed during this time, also bring about healing of the body pains which they cause. It is true to say that contemplative prayer is healing, healing on many levels of our life, our spirit, memories, emotions, relationships, and our bodies. However, we should not expect to have perfect healing. That will only be in heaven. So all will have some kind of chronic illness that will require peaceful and loving acceptance until, if God wishes, it is healed. So for 20 years, I've been praying for healing of my allergy. Achoo! Achoo! 3 times every morning. With the years, there will be a time of great silence in a person's prayer life. God works best when our whole being is surrendered to Him in silent love, as St. John of the Cross puts it. The anointing of the Holy Spirit will be there, but not evident to the soul at the time that is taking place. But afterwards, outside the time of prayer, there will be evidence of a greater integration of our inner life with God, our conscious life, of that life with our life of the senses, and the life around us. With the purification of our unconscious memories, the obstacles to our union with God are removed, and the conscious and unconscious parts of our life are brought together under the gentle action of the Holy Spirit. And so, with that, we have integration. With the purification, as it nears completion, comes a deep awareness of our true self, the self that is indwelt by God, fashioned by the Holy Spirit into a living image of Christ, the self that is conscious of its heritage as a child of God, gifted, graced with virtues and gifts of the Holy Spirit. More and more, these virtues and gifts come into play as these souls are moved by the Holy Spirit, and now there's a new awareness of the world around us, a new way of looking at things, namely with the eyes of God, as God sees them. This is indeed the new man, the new woman, that came into being at our baptism, but only now has come fully into life, so that this supernatural life dominates our sense life. The body is now largely in submission to our spirit, and our spirit is surrendered to the Holy Spirit. This is what can be called a perfect integration, body to spirit, and our spirit to God. The blessed harmony now experienced between body and spirit in its union with God opens our person to a fullness of power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Such souls become perfect instruments of the Holy Spirit for the work of apostolic missions. To this day, there are, I wouldn't know how many, but there are many such souls. Many of them are hidden, cloisters, maybe in a home, in a parish somewhere. They're also present in those who are in apostolic missions. How many, we still don't know. God often hides them, but their work is undoubted. But others are superstars, like Pope John Paul, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. So we need only think of a Mother Teresa of Calcutta. How powerfully the Holy Spirit is using this precious soul for the ministry to the third world of the poor and destitute. Everything she touches prospers and is blessed. She has already founded over 200 institutes. I should say 200 religious houses. Of all the religious societies today, her institute has the greatest number of vocations. The spiritual effects of her ministry cannot be measured, yet it can be seen in the unstinted admiration of the whole world. In her case, it can be said, the whole world loves a saint. It loves this living saint. Amen. Well, time for questions. Questions that probably we're going to ask after you had been centering. Anyone?
I have one question. First, you mentioned that in order to get rid of the feeling, we should accept it and feel it.
Not all. The kind of feeling that keeps bugging you, and anything you do doesn't get rid of it, then simply rest in it and give it a name. Use it as a prayer word. If it's anger, just say gently, Lord, anger. See? Use it as a prayer word then. Okay? And somehow that seems to deal with it.
So sometimes it doesn't work.
Maybe, but you didn't know. Now you know something that you didn't know then. Try it. Anyone else?
Aren't these feelings more or less well up after centering a while?
It depends. It depends on how peaceful that person is, what their life was before that. There are a lot of ingredients that come into play there. Mm-hmm. Okay? And how fully open they are to the Lord. If they are, the Lord will do a quick work. Mm-hmm. But if they're too delicate, then the Lord won't treat them with kid gloves. Claire?
You know, trials, like this is a purification or a purging, but when you see children going through trials, is that also a
a purification for children?
Could be, but hardly a prolonged period of purification. They're not mature enough to endure that, nor are many adults, much less children. But some children, yes, like Dominic Savio, the saint, and others who are canonized. Yes, God can do a quick work, like Therese, the little flower. The Abbey Combs, considered one of the world's most expert theologians on her spirituality, said, "I believe that Therese was perfect at the age of 15. So then before that, she was being put through the ringer. And she was.
My granddaughter is 10 years old and going through terrible trials with her stepfather. And she has, every night goes to visit the rosary.
Well, about that, in other words, some of that is due to the sinfulness of people around them. And that happens to many people and many small children. Look at the mother who is on a drug addict. See, that child as part of the sinfulness of the world around. And yet God can bring blessings to that child if there is a Christian parent on the other, at least one of the parents, is helping that child through such a difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, thank God for grandparents, see? But those little ones also know how to wheedle things out of their grandparents when the parents have every justification for denying them something, you know. And so grandparents have to be careful not to undo what the parents are trying to do. She needs consolation. Anyone else?
I never thought of that way, but now that you said it, and what I went through in my life, I believe that God started from the crib, you know, with the...
Mm-hmm. So you think in your case that a purification that God set about started for you early in your childhood?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Can it be that a lot of the trials that we suffer as children, if we can take them and turn them around to a positive experience, that when we come upon others who have suffered what we suffered, we can look at them with compassion and love?
Yes. Every type of trial that is accepted and borne in the right way is a maturing experience.
Not necessarily purification.
Well, even so, that is, yeah, that's a purification in preparation for a deeper relationship with the Lord. Yes. In the case of a Christian, the Lord is not going to say, "Oh, I'll wait till you're about 20. No, they're a Christian. They're indwelt by God. So whatever happens in their life is part of God's plan, allowing that. And through that, blessing that child, if it accepts it in the right way. If it turns to the Lord, prays to Him, and gives it to the Lord, and so on, and is taught by someone as deeply Christian, like either a mother or an uncle or an aunt, you know, that can help the child through that and deal with it truly in a holy way, then that could be, yes, a big step towards great holiness.
Distinguish if it comes from the Holy Spirit, our guardian angel, or from ourselves.
Or from the spirit of evil.
The other one, right?
Well, that's where the gift of discernment comes in. See? And if it is a decision that you need to make about your life, then you must pray about it and ask the Lord to help you to decide. Oftentimes, you don't know because there seem to be good reasons on both sides for the decision. Now you say, what to do? In cases like that, I simply ask the person to say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I ask you to show me by closing the wrong doors, opening the right door, and nothing's happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but even then, sometimes you, one door closes, but you look for an open door instead of accepting it as a sign from God. You know what I mean?
Well, but sometimes...
Lately for me, many things have happened. I've been praying and asking God, close the doors that you don't want me to step in. And he has.
But he's not opening a door. Is that it?
Yeah, he might. He might have opened.
But at present, he's not opening.
I'm confused because I keep saying, well, this door closed, but I might try and open it again.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Well, you're not putting it the right way. You should say, Lord, if you don't want me to do this, close the door, but open a door. See? In other words, don't limit the Lord. Give him the option. He's wise, infinitely wise, far better than you or I. He sees your life 3 months, 1 year, 10 years, 20 years from now. And whatever you decide now is going to affect that. And he says, no. If I open this door for you, it's not good for you 1 year from now. I'm going to open this door. That's why you should say, Lord, close the wrong doors for me, open the right door. Leave it that way.
Yeah, but I still am confused. Can I give
All
you
right.
a concrete example? Like, for example, I've been praying about my vocation, what I should do, and even thought about going to a mission for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to commit myself completely now. I still think about marriage and human love and so forth. So I'm very confused. And lately, I've had like a car crash. Now I lost my job. It's like God is telling me, get away from here, move. But I say, well, I lost this job, I can find another one. My car crashed, I can repair it. You know what I mean? So I'm still at a dead end.
Well, I wouldn't say necessarily you shouldn't have a car because your car crashed.
That's just an example.
Right. You'll need your car, but that's not closing the door necessarily. However, as you're talking here, my thought is that maybe the Lord wants you just where you are, a period of waiting, which is hard to do. See? Wait. Move on as you can in what you have and wait. But say, keep asking the Lord each day, Lord, I ask you to lead me the right direction. Open the right door, close the wrong door. Keep asking. The Lord is not deaf. I know an example in South Amboy. A couple for whom I performed the marriage and baptized their 4 children. And they had problems. And the early part of their marriage, she was pregnant with the first child. He's an engineer. He worked in Saudi Arabia, came back, got married. Same company offered him a job to go again to Saudi Arabia with a $6,000 bonus, no questions asked, if he accepted the job. He didn't know whether to accept it or not, and he came and said, what should I do? I didn't know. I simply said, ask the Lord to close the wrong doors, open the right door. In 1 week, the offer to Saudi Arabia closed, and he got 3 offers of excellent jobs right near him. So, give the Lord unlimited freedom. He knows what's best. Sometimes it's hard to accept that, see? But he's wise. Mm-hmm. However, it might be dropping in your lap and you're saying, Lord, where is it? See? Just pray that you'll have enough insight to know what it is. One of them will be, you'll be at peace. God wants us to be at peace. He cannot work in a soul that is not at peace. So, stay right in there. And amidst all the, pull all the strings you can up there. Blessed Mother, your favorite saint, Saint Teresa Little Flower, your guardian angel, and all the others.
Can I give a suggestion for you?
Oh. Yes, Angela.
Before she was in the mission, why she don't try some volunteer work if she lacks relationship with the
mission? Yeah, try it around here. See, what I think maybe the Lord wants you to do is mature a little bit.
Yes.
Grow in prayer, deepen in prayer, not just to begin, grow, so that out of your fullness you can give to others, so that it won't drain you entirely, and then you will be unstrung, and you'll be the worse for it. Like people go to the Peace Corps, and they come back disillusioned.
I've been doing that for 15 years. Before I came here, volunteering for church.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you have some experience, but what you need to be is tied into the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing it for any other reason, but to glorify the Lord, to bring souls to God, and for yourself to grow holier through it. Any other motive is not going to be as holy or purifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Trudy just pointed out it's a combination of what you've been talking about. I don't know if you wanted to read it. It's from Abandon Yourself Totally to Me. It's the latest book from Medjugorje by the priest. And it talks about purification. Do you want to read it, Father?
Well,
it's only